Saturday, the Torah Way, Northwest London, Wednesday, 9th of January, Kofstein Teves, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, Parsha theme.
So Torah tells us in this was Parsha, just before the first of the matters, the Dabash HaMashem in Zion Gimel, Vimashem HaMashem, Reina Satifa Lekim Lefaro, that's Zion Aleph, and then it says, Moshe is instructed to go with Aaron to Paro to warn him of the plagues. He says, "Ani akshe eslei Paro, and I'm going to harden Hashem Paro's heart. Virbesi es osaisai ves movsai be'eretz Mitzrayim, and then I'm going to increase, bring many plagues and movsim be'eretz Mitzrayim." So the Yishma aleichem Paro, and Moshe is warned that Paro will not listen to you. Nasati sodim Mitzrayim, atesis sevosai, etc. So I want to focus on this inyan, very well known inyan, of the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu hardens the heart of Paro, and the various mafarshim there. Now, Rashi, of course, immediately asks straight away. Rashi, actually, as always, doesn't articulate this question, but he says, Ma'ach Hashir, she of the history is connected. Since Paro has previously resisted and demonstrated his obduracy against me, then I know, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the Umas Olam are not going to do tshuva. It's better that I harden his heart than It's better that I harden his heart, so that I can then increase the makas, and then they will recognize my gevuros. Now, the Sisei Chum over here points out that Rashi's question is prompted as follows. That's Rashi's question. Is it the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn people into those who go against his will? The classic question, of course, is in terms of Bechira. I see there's a slight variation on the theme. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has removed the Bechira of Paro and turned him into an instant Rasha. And that's Rashi's kasha. Can it be that this is there from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn people into those who transgress his will? And then Rashi goes on to explain, in essence, Rashi's answer is that Paro has previously demonstrated his rishus by his prior resistance to the return of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the way of Hashem, says Rashi. V'chei medoshi shol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may be peronis on umas olam, to bring punishments on the world, kadei sheyishmu Yisrael. So what, therefore, was the purpose of the whole extracted, or protracted sequence of makos, if from the very outset Paro was not going to listen? Why couldn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu have just dealt the whole thing in one go? So he said, in order to teach Klal Yisrael, brings a prosuk from Sefania, Hechrati goyim nashamu pinosam, I've eliminated nations, their towers have become desolate, etc. Hechrati chutosam mibri oiver, I have destroyed their places without passerby. Why do I do this? Amarati eich tiri osi tukumusa. Hashem says, I punish the nation so that others can see, Klal Yisrael can see and take Musa. So in other words, Paro and Mitzrayim become a vehicle to demonstrate what the Kodesh Baruch Hu will do when people transgress his will. What are Klal Yisrael supposed to learn from this? What are we supposed to learn from this? In essence, Rashi's kasha was, how can Hashem turn him into a Rasha? Teretz, he's already a Rasha. He has a track history of this. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu says he has no opportunity over here to do tshuva. What, therefore, was the purpose of the whole protracted process? So that Klal Yisrael should learn from it. What should Klal Yisrael learn from it? So Sifsei Chachamim says, doesn't say too much about it. And Rashi doesn't, I would say, elaborate at length on this. But this was an opportunity for Klal Yisrael to see Gevuros Hashem. To pass as Gevuroso al zet mevi raya, as Gevuroso v'chein midoso, his Gevura and also his mida. His Gevura, we understand the plagues, the makas were a demonstration of the power of Kodesh Baruch Hu, turning the whole creation upside down. What does it mean by his midoso? We'll elaborate. And then Rashi goes on to explain, and it's very interesting, Rashi only brings this to the second part of Rashi. Then in fact, if you look carefully, on the first five of the makos, it wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu that hardened the heart of Paro. Afapike mechamesh makos rishonos, lo ne'emar, it does not say bechazek Hashem as Paro, and bechazek lei Paro. There, the first five of the makos, Paro was himself responsible. It sounds as though he had an absolute free-willed opportunity to respond accordingly, and he then chose not to respond, because he didn't respond appropriately. And the first five makos, therefore, midah kenegen midah, says the Maharal, in the subsequent five makos, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, now we take away your free choice completely. So Rashi's view is that initially, Paro did have an opportunity to do the right thing, and he resisted that the first five times, refused it, I should say. Then his bechira was removed. It's interesting that both the Mizrahi and the Maral over here point out that in the Makkah of Boros, the last Makkah in this, etc., it looks as though it goes back to Paro himself doing the job himself, because it says Vayachazek Leiv Paro Veleshulach Bnei Yisrael Kasher Dibar Hashem Yad Moshe, and Vayachbid Libo. So there it looks as though, even though this is the last five, he was doing it himself, not the Kodesh Baruch Hu orchestrating his emotions over here. But actually the Mizrahi says no, because it goes on, the next passing in Pashas, Boy, Kiani Hichpadit Yezibo, reassures us to know. This is also the actions of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, this was not him. The Maral says slightly differently over here. First of all, Maral points out that in fact, this is Midah Keneged Midah. Midah Keneged Midah means that really this is all rooted in a person's action. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu responds Midah Keneged Midah, it means that the individual themselves has chosen a particular path, and Hashem responds to the path they have chosen. Hashem leads them down the path they have chosen. That's the essence of Midah Keneged Midah. And therefore even the last five were really the result of the first five. But why was it over here in Boros? It seems like a slightly different response over here, as though Paro himself comes back into the fray and makes his own choice. So if I've understood this correctly, and I'm never too sure when it comes to these words of the Maral, if I've understood it correctly, it says as follows. The Makkah of Boros was slightly different than the other Makkahs, in that, in the other Makkahs, in order to stop the Makkah, there had to be a removal of a presence. Something had invaded the land, had to be a removal of an invasion of the land. And that clearly demonstrated to Paro that this was something divine over here. Over here, there didn't have to be a removal of Boros, just a cessation of Boros. It stopped. The Boros stopped. And therefore, over here, this invited Paro to once again perhaps think to himself that maybe this wasn't divinely orchestrated, because the manner of its cessation was not quite as miraculous. Over here, the Maral suggests, therefore, Paro once again had more of a free-willed opportunity to make his own decision. By Hazek Le Paro, he elected once again to ignore the warning signs, and he chose once again of his own volition not to agree to Kodesh Baruch Hu, not to give in as he should have done. Then Kodesh Baruch Hu is Ahosif Tum Al Tumase, Anich Badit Yis Le Paro. Because, in other words, when the Makkah of Boros stops, and he just sees that the weather's changed, no longer hailstones anymore, wasn't as impressive as everything being removed from the land. Therefore, again, that invited him to think perhaps this wasn't divinely orchestrated. That gave him an opportunity for his own free choice. He chose, again, like he did with the first five plagues, to resist negatively. However, over here, had Moshe Rabbeinu then come along and warned of the plague of Arba, maybe then he would have capitulated, albeit for the wrong reasons. So therefore, Hosif Tumal Tumasa, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning of Parshas Bo, Anich Baditiyaz Liver. You're coming to our now warning about the plague of Arba, but you should know that even though he had a kind of moment of opportunity which he squandered, and maybe perhaps when he hears about Arba, he will, for the wrong reasons, capitulate. We're now back into Hosif Tumal Tumasa. I have now stepped in again to respond to his negative choice by taking away his free choice. So this is Rashi. The Ramban, of course, brings the Medrash. The Medrash brings a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish on this pasuk. And Rabbi Yochanan says over here, Mikan Pischen Pelaminim. When they read this pasuk and the Akshas Lei Paro, this is going to be an opportunity for the heretics to challenge the Torah. There's no free choice over here, we're all automatons. Says Reish Lakish, no, Yisrael PM Shalminim, they have no opportunity at all. What's going on? So Ramban brings two pshatim over here. The second of his two pshatim is really Rashi's pshat. That the first five makos he had a total opportunity to respond appropriately and chose not to. And the second five makos then it was out of his hands. In other words, the machlokes between the two pshatim is as follows. Did Paro first experience with Yisurin, which was an opportunity for tshuva, which he resisted? Yes, according to Rashi. And therefore, tshuva opportunity was taken away from him. That's the second pshat that I'm banned from chatting Rashi. The first pshat is that, actually, no. From the very outset, he had no free choice. From the beginning, he had no free choice. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says, Pischon Pelaminim, his free choice was taken away from over here. From the very outset. It's not that for the first five he had choice, chose badly, and the Hashem responded. Even from the outset, he had no free choice whatsoever. So what's going on over here? But, says the Ramban, in fact, there are moments when a Kodesh Baruch Hu deprives a person of the possibility of tshuva. that a person's actions from the outset can be so heinous, can be so wicked, that they lose that possibility of tshuva. And this is the way the Rambam learns in Hilchos Tshuva. In Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Vav Gimel, Rambam says, "V'efshe she'chata adam chayt God alachatam rabim." It could be the person sins to such a degree. Actually, yitzna din lefidana emes she'apar lezer mizeh achayt alachatam enu shasha b'tzono shemoni mimenu tshuva. It could be the person's actions are so wicked, so deleterious, that in fact Hashem takes away that possibility of teshuva. And therefore, even if they have second thoughts, as the Rambam puts it, their initial thoughts are so wicked and so unacceptable, the Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes according to their initial thoughts, and they're deprived of the opportunity of them changing their minds. The Rambam goes on some length over here to give several examples of this, including the example of Kadosh. And he actually brings it in terms of, one second, yeah, Paro. If he's not possible to be exactly as lay Paro, a fortified Paro's heart, the fisher chato me atz mutachila, the hero li Yisrael and Gorim be'atzet. He sinned initially, and was cruel to Klal Yisrael, he lived in his land. She never had one, his heart below. There was no trigger, there was no justification, there was no provocation. Nosna din limnoya atshuva mimenu, ad shenifam menu, so he was punished. The Fichach Chizik Kodesh Baruch Hu is Ribon. Therefore Hashem hardened his heart, so he would not do Teshuva. Wouldn't do Teshuva. But Lama Yisholeach Nebiyad Moshe. In which case, why send Moshe Rabbeinu on this whole enterprise? It seems like a waste of time. Why? Says Rabban. Kedei lahodiyo lavoya olam. The lessons to be learned from this, and this is what the Sifti Chachamim means by Midaso. Remember, Sifti Chachamim says we learn two things from this. One was Gevurah, which was the power of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Sifri Chacham says also Midaso. The Rambam explains, "Shebizman shemenei a Kadosh Baruch Hu tshuva lachoita, eini yochel lashuv ela yomus berusha." This is what Hashem wants to teach us. By watching Paro, by observing events, we can see, Rahmana Litzlan, that a person can be so wicked, and Hashem says from the outset, you have no opportunity of doing tshuva at all. No right to do tshuva, no opportunity to do tshuva. And that's also was one of the lessons in Mitzrayim. That was Midaso that we had to learn, the way in which the Kadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us. And the Rambam goes on with further examples. In David he says, "Ke'inyan zeh, shoylim ha-tzidikim ha-nevim." And because of this potential danger, the Nevi'im and Tzaddikim asked, "Harein Yashem derkach, ahalech amitecha, kolema. Show me your way, let me go according to your truth. Al yimnu'uni chatoi derach emes." The Tzaddikim asked, the W.M. says in Tehillim, that this request was not just teach me your way, but do not allow my sins to get to such a degree that I'm deflected from derach emes and there is no return. There is no return. And the Be'er Yosef over here, Be'er Yosef Salam, points out that it's quite a remarkable jump between these two paragraphs of the Rambam. Because in the first paragraph, the Rambam talks about chatan gedolim, extreme reshoim, extreme behavior. And yet, nonetheless, it seems the Tzaddikim felt it necessary not to assume that Teshuva was their right. Teshuva is a privilege, not a right, not a right. Not to assume it is their right. And therefore, the Tzaddikim, sensitive to these, were cognizant of the fact that Teshuva remains a privilege. And we shouldn't assume that it is our right. That's how the Rambam learns. Of course, according to Rambam, the difference between the partial is critical. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says over here, "Ani akshes lei paro," according to the first pshat of the Rambam, that's from the outset. From the very outset, I've removed paro's free choice, and that's how it's going to be. According to the second pshat of the Rambam, no, the first five plagues, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not hardened his heart in a manner that prevented him from tshuva. Therefore, this particular pasuk is a prediction of what is to come, not what is immediate. The Yosef Salantim here, Bar Yosef, in Akshon Pashas B'Shalach, also brings this medrash. And he brings a remarkable suggestion. He says that if this is the case, according to this pshat, the first pshat, that Hashem deprived him from tshuva from the outset, then Paro had to know that. That was part of the punishment. And for us to learn that, we had to understand that to be the case. So he suggests, when it says, "Vayom Hashem al Paro, al Moshe, boyal Paro, ki aniach padet his libo," Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Come to Paro, and because I have hardened his heart," that Paro, and Moshe Rabbeinu, had to tell him that. He had to say, "You know what's happened over here? Because you have been so wicked, I have deprived you of your bechira. I have deprived you of your free choice." I don't see fully where he sees this in the Pesukim, but my understanding is that's part of the punishment. That's what we have to learn, and that is what Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell Paro. You know how far you've gone, and the Echbad is Liver, you have lost your choice of tshuva. And that was part of the communications Paro himself. And then he says, the man shisi ososai ela bikirbo, in order to place these signs within him. Says that Bekirbo doesn't just mean within Mitzrayim, it means within Paro himself. The phenomenon of the deprivation of Tshuva was Bekirbo within Paro himself. And that's what had to be communicated. And this is communicated Dafka before the plague of Borot. Because the Makkah of Borot, amongst all the Makkahs, have within it Nisim Matoch Nisim. As the Medrash says, it was both fire and ice that were combined. Now normally you would expect the fire to melt the ice, so the ice remained hard. This was a mashal for Paro. Normally these types of Yisroel, these types of Makkahs, would melt the heart, would force a capitulation. But over here, because if Badati is Libo, and Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Paro, half of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you are almost like the Borot over here. The pain within is not melting the outside. And just as the Borot is a phenomenon, Alpi Nais, so that is also been taken out of your hands, that's also. And that's Pshat, the man Shisi Ososai, and a Bekirba. This happened within Paro. He was like a living example of what the Borot represented. That although you could have this power, although you could have all this, it wouldn't melt him. He'd remain as he was. That's the Drachim, essentially, of Ramban and Rashi with elaboration. The Malbim over here brings... Malbim over here brings this as first Drachim. And he suggests there are three reasons why it is a Kodesh Baruch Hu might deprive a person of the opportunity of tshuva. One reason we've said, Ramban, that a person's crimes can be so terrible, and tshuva is a chesed from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore... The Rambam says his crimes can be so terrible, and Malbim puts it slightly differently. He says, tshuva is for ma'aminim. Tshuva is ma'aminim. What is tshuva? Tshuva is the restoration of a relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu when that relationship has been deflected. Now, over here, it's chaste Hashem lo ha'am ha'ma'aminim bo. It can't be open to those who are kriyfer be'ikah because the relationship has gone. You've destroyed the whole relationship. Therefore, tshuva is a gift which is there for ma'aminim to restore their relationship when it's gone wrong. But not open to kriyfer be'ikah v'ezara. I think it's a slight nuance on the Rambam. The second thing he brings is that over here, of course, the crimes were Shaparo Chota Ba'avonos Shifet Odom Lachaveret. All Paro's crimes, his crimes were Avonos and Lachaveret. V'ma'ashi Shlichu Es B'neihem Le'or, V'marius Chayim. And therefore, Avonos Shifet Odom Lachaveret Ein Mo'el Tshuva. Avonos, this is actually our topic of last time I was here, the challenges of Tshuva Ben Odom Lachaveret. And therefore what he means over here is that this type of Tshuva for Paro, he would have to come and apologize to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I couldn't help thinking, you know, that the question that I've been asked on an occasion, not the episode is not for now, was challenged on the train. Why can't you forgive the Holocaust? Why can't you forgive the Holocaust? Well, this was not done directly to us. It's not for us to forgive. These are very phenomenal of Eru, and the victims have to forgive if such a thing is possible. I mean, the Malbim says that there's no way that Paro can do tshuva in this way when he's Averus and Benam Nachamero, and that's the reason why he lost the opportunity for tshuva. And a further reason he gives as follows. I'll read this out to you because I'm not exactly sure what he means, but he says as follows: Oy Yoma Shekishu Yalev Hoyesh Hashem Hita Ezavavo Sheyachshuv Shamachos Bo'u BeMikra Omipasa Ma'aracha Shanideis Osara Makos V'Chopam Choshav Shikopsa Yad Hashem Ma'akosim. Saying as follows, that really not necessarily pshat that he actively hardened his heart, but because the Makos were within the framework of the natural world, that inclined Paro, that gave Paro the opportunity not to see the signs and not to see the messages. So here, I think this last chapter of the Malbim is that not like Kodesh Baruch Hu literally took away his Bechira, but the Makkahs were constructed in such a way that because they went through the natural world, therefore, it was easier for Paro to resist, to refuse to see the messages within the Makkahs, and that's what he means. But if you wanted to, you could rationalize even the Makkahs because they were in the Derech HaTeva. That's what I think Malbim means. Malbim then says, Kedarka B'Kodesh, if you look at the Lashonos, there are three Lashonos which are used, which is Makshe's Libo, Yechbadet's Libo, and Chazak. Thank you. And these two Lashonos refer to different times. The one of Makshas Libo is the time of Hasra, prior to the Makkah. Chazak is Libo, is the time of the Makkah. Hichbid Libo is when the Makkah was removed. So Makshas is the time of Hasra, that's a lot of news. Chazak is Libo, but Esa Makkah. Hichbid Libo is when the Makkah is removed. And these three Lashonos express the different opportunities. But then the Malbim basically also takes us along the lines of the Sforna. The Sforna goes in a completely different direction over here from all levels of Farshim. Malbim doesn't actually say the Sforna, but Malbim goes in the second channel direction. The Sforna says that, this is not about the deprivation of Tshuva, but actually the restoration of the opportunity of Tshuva. You know, Meyos Hakel Chafetz B'Shuvotim V'Roshayim V'Lo B'Misasa. Since the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants their Tshuva and not their death, then it says, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted their tshuva not by virtue of their collapse, but by virtue of their own volition. So therefore, the purpose of hardening HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart, hardening Paro's heart, was to restore his ability to make choices. Had it just been rained on all the Makkahs and the pain of the Makkahs, that would have forced a capitulation. But not the type of capitulation HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a genuine tshuva, and so the Paro's have an opportunity for genuine tshuva. And therefore, over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to harden his heart so that he could withstand the Makkahs and therefore be able to do a tshuva. So therefore, the Sforna says the purpose of this was not to take away his tshuva, but to restore him with the opportunity of doing tshuva. And then the Sforna says in Pasuk Galut, that in fact all of the first nine Makkahs were about. All of the first nine Makkahs, they were about Yisurim in order to trigger tshuva from Paro. It's only the last two Makkahs, Makkahs Bechoros, and then Kriyas Yam Suf, that were then Onish. The first nine Makkahs were Yisurim rained upon Paro in order to try and encourage him to mend his ways and to prepare what he was doing. And then in between each Makkah, Hashem fortifies his heart so that he won't just give in by virtue of the pain, but he can then do a Chesed Nefesh, get a Musa Drasha from Moshe Rabbeinu, and then say to himself, you know what, I've made a terrible mistake, I now want to do a real tshuva. That's what the Sforna learns, and the Rambam also quotes that as well. Therefore, totally different pshat from Rambam, and Rambam and others. The purpose of the hardening of his heart was to restore his opportunity to do tshuva. Only the last two Makkahs Bechoros, and Kriyas Yam Suf, the final one, was in order to do that. And that's what it means that Klal Yisrael had to learn from this. The part of the purpose of this was they would learn from this, again, the Midrash HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Midrash HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of his desire for us to do tshuva. Also finally quote a very remarkable kasha of the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi over here, he takes a similar line to the Malbim second chapter in the Sforna, and he asks the following kasha. If that is the case, the implication of this is that to do teshuva as a result of Yisurim is an unacceptable teshuva. That's the implication. The logical implication is that if Rahman is not a person who has Yisurim, and that forces a teshuva out of him, that's not what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's what we see over here. On the contrary, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to build him up again, get him on an even keel, so that he can then say, right, I've had this, and that's forced the chesed nefesh, and now I want to do teshuva. But if it's just because, okay, I've had enough, yes, that's fine, I give in, that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. So he basically asks, well, how does that work in terms of the way we normally understand Yisurim? We understand that Yisurim are there to prompt a person to tshuva. And if a person only does tshuva as a result of the Yisurim. So of course the Gemara says, Yifashkish, for myself, person who are in Brachos, a person should see Yisurim coming to me, he should analyze, he should. But how does it work? What's the difference between us and Paro? So he quotes a Gemara in Menachos on Nun Gimel on the base. Gemara says as follows. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem found Avram standing in the Beis HaMikdash. What are you doing here? I've come about my children. Hashem says, your children have sinned, and they've been exiled. Amalo Shema Beshogi Chotu. Maybe it was inadvertent. Amalo Asusa Mizimasa. Quotes the prophet Yirmiyahu that they did it deliberately. Maybe it was only a few of them. And they say, should have remembered the Bris Mila, and the Kosh Baruch is Mataris him. And then it says, maybe had you waited, there was no Shiva. Again, quoting from Yirmiyahu, no, on the contrary, they rejoiced in their in their wickedness. Then it says, "Vayotzeik ubreicha." Miach yoder al reisha. Avraham Avinu puts his hands on his head on his hand, and he cries, "Amen Hashem achas Hashem elam tekona." Maybe there's no tekona for them. Kosh Baruch Hu then says, "Zayin shalom yafei pri toya." Kor Hashem shemeich. Kosh Baruch Hu calls Klal Yisrael an olive. What's the essence of an olive? Ma zayis achirosay the sefer, after Yisrael achirayim the sefer. Just as an olive, after it's been crushed, after it's been beaten, after it's had all, then all the best is extracted from it. So here as well, eventually it will come good. These Yisrael will be productive in the long term. There will be a tachonos, as a kosh baruch hu, to comfort Avram. Says the Beis Levi, what's the mashal to an olive? It gives two mashalim. Either the fact that an olive, in essence, there is goodness within the olive. You just have to extract it from the olive. But we know that latent in there, there is goodness. And he also brings a variation of the theme that an olive, the olive oil is naturally bitter, but when it is heated up, it gives flavor to the food. That means that, in essence, that flavoring must be in there. It needs to be extracted in the appropriate way. In other words, what Akash Baruch was saying to Avraham Avinu, is Klal Yisrael are intrinsically good. They're intrinsically tov. They're intrinsically kodesh. But what's happened is they become so involved in Olam Hazeh that they need Yisurim to detach them from Olam Hazeh and to therefore restore the natural volition of Klal Yisrael, the natural will of Klal Yisrael. Then Yisurim are productive and effective. But Paro over here had become so wicked, he was intrinsically bad, intrinsically negative. Therefore, over here, had he just capitulated the result of the Yisurim, all that would have emerged is the negativity of Paro, the wickedness of Paro, rather than the goodness of Paro. Therefore, that's the contrast. When Rachmana lets down the Yisurim and Klal Yisrael, the purpose is to restore us to what is naturally us. Here, if that was all that had happened with Paro, without a paradigm shift on his part, that would not have been good enough. Therefore, the Yisurim came, the capitulation results of Yisurim would have been insufficient. After that, the Kodesh Baruch Hu had to fortify him, so he could then do a chetman and nefesh, and was given the opportunity for a paradigm shift, and that might have yielded a different result.